That's why they love us so much, Roland.
Yeah. Why don't we open the Bible to Genesis chapter 5. Amen.
You do put this on?
Okay, yes, sir. We do love
it. Pick it up better when you start walking around.
Praise the Lord. Genesis chapter 5. Before I look at the verse or the context, I do want to, everybody that has been has been a part to our ministry is not here. I can see there's a lot of empty chairs tonight, but little as much if God is in it.
Amen.
And I do thank the Lord for you, all of y'all that are here tonight, and I thank you for your constant support and prayers. I know it's both, and I do thank you. I really do. There's really no other thing we can't tell you, you know, or really give in place of that, but just to thank you, and I hope you accept that thank you as something that's really down and deep of our in our hearts, because we wouldn't be out there if it wasn't for you and your prayers and your support. We thank you very much. Steve and Chong for allowing us to stay there at their house and their use of their facilities and every means and ways. We thank you, brother, for being kind to us and being stern with us too. You know, Brother Steve, he's pretty good at being stern. He's learning, brother. He's been amen, brother. We appreciate you. I don't see Maria and Roger here tonight, but, they rented us a car. You know, I just want to thank them before y'all.
Amen.
They're sacrificing, you know, I thank the Lord for that sacrifice. And each and every one of y'all, you women that, constantly feed us, good eating. A lot of times we don't show you that we appreciate you. You know, we just walk by you. Our minds are full, probably with conviction from the message earlier in the day. So a lot of times do not take it wrong when we walk by you or that we feel we're better than you, because that's not the way the case is. We're servants, co-laborers on one another. But, if we do that, it's usually because we got things on our minds or something like that. But people like Virginia, Chong and other sisters, that have been faithful year after year.
Amen.
We want to thank you for your faithfulness. Lupe, Loyola, we want to thank you too. All of y'all, if I forgot somebody, forgive me. I don't know if there's anything else I need to say, but I was thinking about Enoch in Genesis chapter 5, and let's read it. 22, it says, "And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." And Enoch walked with God. You know, this conference is really, it really hadn't been, and it has too, but it had, the main emphasis, I don't think, has been evangelism, you know, even though there's been some messages around that. But I think I shouldn't even say we, the Lord's put upon our hearts, something to help y'all get boosted and get you revived somehow. And pray to God that that's what happens.
Amen.
But you know, I think one of our biggest reasons why we lack revival and lack, fervency and lack, love for God's work is because we're not walking with God. You know, God, I think, is become, it's almost the doctrine we've met with, you know. The doctrine we've met with has brought us to know the Savior, to know our God and Lord Jesus Christ, and to know the forgiveness of sins and the eternal life. But I think sometimes we have it like it's a good teaching, and we can bask in that, and we sure can bask in that, brothers, that we have the truth. We have God's word. We have his doctrine. You know, it's a doctrine that taught us how to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and how to be saved by his grace and his mercy. But I think, brothers, that I think there's a very important part of our lives that we could be neglecting. It's walking with God, like Enoch walked with God. You know, that speaks of communion with God. Now, brothers, you know, this is something that God wants from us. God is real.
God is not a doctrine. God is not just, He is the Word made flesh, yes. But, you know, He's not just a bunch of letters on a page. He's real and He lives in your heart. And He wants you, to walk with Him. He wants you to talk with Him. He wants you to praise Him and love Him and adore Him. You know, I'm not the best walker with God. I don't want you to misunderstand me, but this is for me. You know, in the ministry, you know, we do it day after day after day, and I'm not complaining. I love the ministry. You know, I wouldn't trade it for anything else. Some days I would like to trade it, but those are days, you know, where we get in the flesh or whatever. But, you know, the Lord, you know, He's real. And I think too often, us as missionaries, you as Christian missionaries here in San Antonio, we forget of our personal walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. We forget that we should look for an intimacy with our Lord and Savior. And it reminded me of this, the relation that a husband has with his wife and vice versa. But I'm going to more or less speak from the side of the husband toward the wife. You know, it's like Christ loved the church, you know. We as a church, we're His bride, and we should be walking with the Lord in communion. And I was thinking about this also that with our wives, you know, think about the relationship, that we have with the Lord. You that are married, you that aren't married, sympathize a little bit with me. You'll understand down the line. But, you know, my wife, she's just that beautiful woman I met years ago. It's almost many years ago. No. It's getting there, but praise the Lord. I'm getting deeper. Hey, I'll make up for it later. We hope to make up. Probably come tomorrow with a black eye or something. She is a boxer. But you know, the woman, I remember when I met her, you know, it's how when we met the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember how it was in your first love? You know, my sons and my daughter and many others here, they've grown up in the Christian world and they don't understand this. And you know, really, you're missing out on something, but you know, don't walk the way of sin like was taught this morning, and you know, and try to learn it the hard way. But what I'm getting at is, because you don't have this experience, us that have had the experience of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, of meeting with Him, in a time that we were down to the last of ourselves, we were close to falling into the pit, close to dying and going to hell, you know. And then I don't know how the Lord did it. He's powerful and mighty, but He showed me His free salvation, and I got saved. And I said, "Wow, you know, man, I wanted to tell everybody, and I still do want to tell everybody." But you know, remember that first love. Remember that how it was with the Lord. Remember how that first experience you had with the Lord, and I also remember how it was when I met my wife. And I started thinking about this text about Enoch walk with God, you know. You know, how are we walking with that Savior that we met and blessed our hearts with free salvation? And then how it was when we met our wives and how it was, and you know, living, and the example is clear to me that, you know, how in a marriage, how you take it for granted that she's with you, brother. You know, she's with you. She's taking care of your kids and she's there, you know. I remember one time that my wife said she wasn't going to be there. And she left me. She left me for a little time, you know. She needed a break. I didn't know it. I was, you know, dense, you know. And boom, she took off. Now, she learned that lesson. I don't think she'll do it again. I hope not anyway. But she got her chastening for doing that. But you know, I don't think she went out and did anything wrong or anything like that. But you know, she learned from that rebellious way. And I learned from that, hey, I need to pay attention to my wife a little bit. Amen. I need to walk with her. I need to, like the Bible says, love your wives. Husband, love your wives. Hey, it's a command. Love your wife, brother. You need to love your wife. Yeah, I know some of these wives aren't lovable, but you gotta love them anyway.
Amen.
You know, sometimes the Lord, it doesn't seem like He's just treating us just right, but we need to love Him anyway. We need to love our wives. We need to love the Lord. We need to walk with God. You know, we need to take notice of their presence. You know, I think, well, we're living in years, well, we're living in that decade, 2000, what, one? We're in 2001, I get mixed up. But we're in the day of electronic age and you know, all this stuff, we're there. You know, pretty soon we're going to be flying around in spaceships, it seems. You know, I mean, we're just in an advanced society, time period. You know, and the missionaries get caught up with their mechanisms, their computers in their shops, you know. Now, I'm not saying that's all we do, but we need to keep ourselves busy. I want you to know, because the idle mind is the devil's workshop. And so we keep busy with other things and time for a study, we go, time for a visit, time to preach, whatever it might be. We're ready to go when we're called upon. It's time to go, you know. And in all this busyness, we forget our wife, we forget our children. And you know, the Lord spoke to me recently in a personal way, because I sold my two vehicles and now I've been walking just about everywhere, getting on the combis, which are little buses that means of transportation to take you around through the city or whatever for low price and what have you. You know, in doing this, I've been able to walk with my wife a little bit more. You know, I've been able to walk alone. A walk, you know, before you had the car, the little truck, you know, and you got your wife along your side, you know, and the kids in the back, and okay, here we go, you know, the daily old routine. But now you're walking with her, you know, and sometimes walking with the kids too. But you know, there's a very, very precious lesson in walking with a loved one. When you start thinking about the times that so often happens to us that we neglect, or we don't pay the attention to our loved ones like we ought to, that you say, you know, I've been missing something. And the Lord said, love your wife. And so, you know, what I've been practicing, and also Amen. This has to do with practicing loving the Lord,
Amen.
Is that communion with her. Now, I'm not saying I succeeded. She probably can tell you what kind of grade I'm getting right now. I don't know. But you know what? I'm trying to love her. Tell her, I love you. You're pretty. You know, things like that, I love you. You know, things like that. I remember I shared something like this in Salamanca, in Morelia. And one of the sisters later, you know, the rumor or what she told me was, well, that was such a romantic message. Well, listen, I'm not here to make a romantic thing out of this, even though there is some romanticism in this. Not just with your wife, but with the Lord. God wants an intimate relationship with Him. He wants you to commune with Him, talk with Him. He don't want to be just he don't want you to have Him just as a doctrine or something like that, or something little good feeling you feel in your heart. Which, you know, man, the Lord does give us a good feeling in our hearts sometimes. That peace that passeth all understanding. You know, I thank the Lord for this. But God wants us to communicate with Him. He wants us to communicate with Him. He wants us to communicate with our wives. He wants us to, hey, don't look on the other side. Look at what you got. Be thankful for what you got. I was thinking about that. Remember how it was the beginning. Recently, I found a photo of my wife, some photos of my wife when she was 22 years old, you know, and she's still a honey, hey? But you know, she was 22 years old and boy, she was, man, dynamite. So I got those pictures. I blew them up. I got them a little larger and I got them. I got one in my wallet. Hey, man, you know what? What have I been missing all these years? I haven't remembered what I found and what I have. And I just got away from that. And I said, man, look at that. Got that old picture. It's about almost 20 years old and got it enlarged. Man, I said, man, I remember those days. And I remember the days now too, but I remember those days. You know, we need to remember what God has done for us. We need to remember, what he took us out of. We need to see what He's blessed us with now. God has blessed us so much. We need to be a people of faith that's demonstrated by talking to God, communing with Him, and remembering His promises as I did with these photos. Now, of course, I'm not talking about you need a photo of a Jesus and nothing like that. But look in His promise book. Look at those promises, brothers. It's for us to plow this word. It's for me to plow the word. It's for me to stay in communion with my God, and it's for you to stay in communion with your God. But I'm not the perfect husband. She's not the perfect wife. Neither is anyone else in here, whatever role you might fit. you know? And we're not always faithful. Now, I'm not talking about being unfaithful in a gross way, you know, going off into some adultery or whatever it might be. No. I'm talking about, you know, sometimes we do look on the other side of the fence. We see something, we say, boy, but you know what we need to do? We need to turn our eyes back to our wives. Just like with the Lord, you know, you got the best that you could ever have in the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the world says, look at the riches. Look at the pleasures. Look at the vanities. And we're constantly battling, right? We're like this and that. But we need to keep our eyes on the author and finisher of our faith. We need to keep the right focus. And we're not always faithful. And we need to learn. And this is part of communion. This is part of walking with God. We need to learn us as husbands, hey, you know, I did wrong. Yeah, I was wrong. You know, instead of trying to hide it, no, I didn't do it. Or, yeah, you know, but also the wife ought to be understanding too, knowing that, hey, you know, these men, you know, or my husband in your case, you know, he's not perfect. But that doesn't allow room for us to live in unrighteousness, you know. I should be focused on what I have, what the Lord's given me. And it's the same with the Lord. I shouldn't be putting my eyes on vanities and temporal things of this life and get my eyes off the goal. It's a constant battle, brothers. You know it. I'm not teaching you nothing new. I'm just reminding you, brothers. We need to seek again that good communion with our Lord. We need to confess our faults. Like it says in Proverbs, I won't lead us out there. Give brother Will some time to preach. But in Proverbs 28:13, it says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Proverbs 28:13. You know, prospering in the material, God's given me enough, you know. Why should I want more, you know? I'm not starving, you know. I'm not having to rob, you know. I'm not overly wealthy where everything's in right line, but hey, I can't complain. You know, thank the Lord for what he's given me, you know. But I want to prosper in the spiritual.
Amen.
I want to prosper in what's good for now and what's good for later. That's what I want. I know my flesh gets in the way and says no, but that's what I want, and that's what you ought to desire. Prospering spiritually.
Amen.
I want to be. I want to understand God's word a little more.
Amen.
I'm not no theologian by far. No, there's brothers that can run around in circles in me, like Brother Linda was saying. He can preach circles around somebody, and I know that's true. You know, but you know what? I want to know this book.
Amen.
I want to know it, and little by little, there's more things coming out of this word to me. I want to know it. I want to know. I just want to know more and more of his truth. Is I want to receive more blessing out of his word. I want to be used of him to reach others. Ain't no time to sit around doling out. Ain't no time to sleep. Ain't no time for sleeping. I mean, you know, I'm talking about the spiritual sense. It's time to wake up. It's time to, the time is short. Our redemption draweth nigh. It's time. It's time. It's always been time, but it's time, brother, for you to work in your salvation. Work in that thing. Not to work it out in order that you be saved. You know, I repeat this over and over, but it's work in you, work in what God's put in you. Work out that thing. But that's a, you know, it's a mine. It's a mine like a gold mine. Man, just see, God wants you to really to mine your heart, mine the things of God and mine that treasure he's given you and mine his word out. God wants to bless us. I just know that. But if we do like Adam and say, I didn't sin, try to cover this sin. No, that's not the way to go. We need to confess our sins to the Lord. And then it said there in verse 24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. You know, Paul said, I don't know if I wrote it down or not, Paul says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain.
Amen.
You know, I think of this, you know, that God, what he wants us to be ready and prepared to be taken. You know, I'm not saying that the rapture is right around the corner. It could be. How many Christians are ready if the Lord comes? How many Christians are ready? Are you going to come and get up in glory and say, boy, I sure wish I'd have got myself ready. I don't want to be like that. I want to be ready. I want to be ready. The Lord says, you know, come up hither. You know, I want to take your life. I want to translate you. You know, it doesn't really say that Enoch died, but he was translated, or he was, how did it say it there? 24? And he was not. You know, in other words, he just wasn't no more here on earth, at least. That's the way I understand it. But you know what? Hey, I wouldn't mind leaving.
Amen.
I wouldn't mind leaving at all. You know, I thank the Lord all that I have. But you know, if God says, come on, hey, I know you got something better. Now I'm not chickening out. And I'm not saying, you know, this is something that's been crossing my mind too. This idea, and it hadn't, and by God's grace, hadn't been even a temptation to me. You know, maybe like a young kid, and that's why I say this, because there's a lot of young kids that this thought comes to mind, is the thought of suicide. That hadn't been not even a temptation in my mind at all, but you know, I wouldn't mess with even that thought. I wouldn't even think it over many times. I'd rebuke that right away if I was you young person or you old person. You know, some people are thinking of taking their lives. No, that's a foolish thing. You're going to fall to hands of a living God. You know, I don't know exactly how he would treat a believer in that situation. Now, you know, I'll let someone else teach on that one day. But I know one thing. We are his temple.
Amen.
And you do not violate his temple. We do not violate his temple. And we better be careful. Because you think you're going to end it right here. No, you're going to face the Lord and you're going to face him with, you know, a lot of shame. I don't know. I don't understand it all, but that is not the right thing. Get that out of your mind now. Every time it comes in your mind, catch it and rebuke it. But you know, getting back to the Lord says, come on, when I'm ready to go, I'm ready to go. Paul said, Philippians, he says, for I'm in a strait betwixt two, having the desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And so if God wants, you know, hey, let's live a long life. Really. I'm serious. Let's live a long life. You know, Enoch, he only lived 320. I say only. he only lived 325 years. His son, Methuselah, he lived 969 years. I mean, Enoch only lived almost like a third of what Methuselah lived, his son. You know, and he was not. He was out. Man, I'm gone. I'm going. Man, I'm going to talk to him face to face.
Amen.
You know, but you know, maybe it's needful for us to stay. And it could be. And we live long days and we ought to walk joyful, walking with the Lord joyfully. Tell him, Lord, I love you. Practice it, brother. Practice walking. Getting on the bus. Get out of the car. Do something different than what you're doing. Get out of that routine and start walking with your God. Start loving him. Start communion with him. And you, brother, some of you brothers need to get right with your wives.
Amen.
You need to get that house right. Maybe that's why there's no revival. You know, the Bible talks about that. I think it's in Malachi. You know, he was upset there because they dealt treacherously with their wives. They dealt disloyal or the men towards their wives. You know, I know he's a jealous God, and he doesn't want us just living like however we might desire to live. But I think it's that. But you know, living a long life, many treasures that we can continue doing. I thank the Lord for the Christian life. You know what? I've been saved probably now going on 19 years, I think, by God's grace. You know, and it's every day it's a learning lesson.
Amen.
Every day it's a learning lesson. And there's tops, there's mountaintops and there's valleys. But you know what? It's all worth it. It's all worth it. By God's grace, I will not trade it for anything else. But you know, I think about in 1 Thessalonians, we can look at that one. 1 Thessalonians 1. I want to better my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you do too. I want to better my relationship with my wife. I want to better my relationship with my kids. I want to better my relationship with my co-laborers. I want to better my relationship with the brothers down there in Mexico.
Amen.
I want to better my relationship with the lost world. And in the right way, I'm saying. I want to better my relationship with any and everybody in case the Lord says, come up hither. Time to go. And if he doesn't, I want to lay up treasures until that day I see him and I hear that blessed phrase of his. 1 Thessalonians 1:9, it says, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. brothers, don't forget. Or I need to remind you, baby. Don't forget, you're serving a living and true God. Hey, he walks with you. He wants to talk with you. He's in your heart. You know, I don't have nothing but to do but to better my communion with my Lord Jesus Christ and better my communion with everybody else, because he might call us out. He might call us out. It's time to get ourselves prepared, looking for that great day. And if it delays, let's get to work and let's be right with God and reap the blessings later.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.